All right, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 13. We are on lesson number 29. And does anyone need lesson 29? If you do, raise your hand. Lesson 29, anyone need that? All right, well, we have been on it for a while. So we're giving the Antichrist, at least talking about him quite a bit here, and a lot in the scripture about that period of the tribulation. Revelation 13:4 is our memory verse talking about this, and will be for probably a couple more weeks anyway, as it is pretty detailed, a lot of things that we're discussing in reference to the book of Revelation and the Antichrist. The title, of course, the Arising Beast from the Sea. And so Revelation 13:4, our memory verse. And so let's say that together, and we'll say the reference, the verse, and then the reference. And to begin, Revelation 13:4, and they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Revelation 13:4, and again, Revelation 13:4, and they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Revelation 13:4. Thank you so much, Father, for this time that we can spend in your word. I pray that you will make it a profitable time for us, that we will hear your words and that we'll learn from it, and certainly that we will recognize that the coming of Christ draweth nigh, and we'll be excited about that very truth. And yet that we'll realize that there are many, many, many folks that will go into a tribulation where this Antichrist, this beast, will be the dictator, the ruler, and empowered by Satan. It'll be a terrible, terrible time, and folks will be lost and then die and go to a devil's hell. And so help us to do our part to win people to Christ and be a shining light in our community. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. We have talked about his personal, the Antichrist, his personal characteristics, verses 1 and 2. And again, we do need to make note, as we have each week, that he is a human. He is a representative of a system that is against God, but he himself is a human. He will be in the form of a man. He'll be a human. And then we also talked about just several different things about that. And then we talked about his promotion. And we've kind of been on that quite a while here because it is an amazing thing, I think, and quite a part of the tribulation that is, it's hard for us to imagine that an antichrist would be able to rise up. How could somebody so anti-God, antichrist, how could they rise up, and how could they rise up so quickly? And yet, you know, we've watched now, we've watched over these last few 15, even 15 years, politically, we've watched people rise up that we think, how did this happen? How is this possible? And yet, it did. And so we've talked about that and spent a lot of time on that. We the main thing that we recognize in his promotion, the thing I started with, was that it is by permission of the Lord. Nothing happens without God knowing about it and letting it take place. Again, you know, I spent some time last week in the morning service talking about our choice. We are given a choice. We don't, you know, nobody makes you get saved. Nobody made me get saved. I had a choice in that, and I made my decision. Again, once I'm saved, I have choices now. Nobody made me come to church today. Nobody made you come to church today. We chose. We made a choice, and we came. And so God obviously allows us to make those choices, even if they're wrong choices. Certainly, he makes things happen in our lives and sets things in motion and circumstances and everything, try to get us to make right choices. And I say all those nice things, but also there is the chastening of the Lord that helps us in making those right choices. But we have to understand that God will allow the Antichrist to do what he does. You know, how can God put up with that blasphemy? But he does allow that to take place. And so we see the promotion, and it takes place through many things, and I've already talked about all that. And we kind of stopped at through a master plan of deception. I'm on capital H of that section of Roman numeral 2, and talking about a master plan of deception. And then we talked about worldwide ignorance of God's word. Worldwide ignorance of God's word. And we talked about that quite a bit last week. In fact, we got kind of hung up on that. And, you know, just an ignorance of God's word. People are obviously many don't have the word of God. Many don't read what they do have. Many, you know, they're too lazy to study the word of God. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Well, we don't have to be ashamed if we will study the word of God. If we'll rightly divide the word of truth, we can know how to do right, and then it's just a matter of doing right. And preaching is watered down. We talked about that in our day. And then there's people get offended by the word of God, and it offends them, and so they don't hear what it has to say. And then just the pure rejection of the word of God. In other words, I hear it and I've listened to it, but I'm not interested. I do not want it. Jeremiah 8 and verse 9 is a good verse. And certainly there are many illustrations of that in the scriptures. Jeremiah 8 and verse 9, the rejection of God's word. And here the Bible says, the wise men are ashamed, they are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them? And again, an acceptance of an antichrist, of a system like this, of it being so big, you know, people will be deceived because they have rejected the truth. They have rejected the word of God. And what God says, what wisdom is in them? If somebody rejects the word of God, what wisdom can they possibly have? And they could have a worldly kind of a wisdom. They, you know, and but that is not going to save them from an antichrist and the antichrist. And so, a worldwide ignorance of God's word is part of the reason why man will be deceived. Another thing is number two is a fierce satanic and demonic activity. Fierce, satanic, and demonic activity. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. Again, many verses we could look at. I am trying to move away from this point. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And that is happening today. You know, very, very clearly, some shall depart from the faith. That happened in the New Testament. That happens all the time. Demas hath forsaken me. Well, Demas, what are you thinking? Well, the problem is, you know, there is seducing spirits. There are doctrines of devils. There is a satanic and demonic activity that is fierce in the world. It has been, but I think even more so as more and more people worship Satan, worship demons. You know, all of that stuff is very, very real, folks. It is not something to play with. It is not something. You know, I try very hard ever since some different run-ins that we were involved in reference to demon-possessed people. I do my very best to avoid it. You know, I'm not afraid to preach about it, not afraid to tell what the Bible says, but I am not a demon buster. I'm not looking for it. I'm not trying to find it. You know, I believe a lot of people are in some of the different mental hospitals and places. I think some of those people, there's demonic activity that has happened. I believe that a lot of people that are on some of these drugs, you know, what would we have done to the demoniac of Gadara today? You know, we'd have put him on drugs. We'd have tried to calm that thing down. And there is satanic, demonic activity movies, TV shows, talking about all that stuff just in such a widespread way. People, you know, I believe it is certainly going to have a big effect on how people are so easily deceived. Again, if a person thinks there is such a thing as a good witch, you know, there is such a thing as good black magic, you know, good satanic activity, you know, as people begin to accept those kind of things, again, it's all part of that master plan of deception. But again, it all starts with an ignorance of the Word of God. And it all, you know, that's going to be the starting point, because what is going to save you? Okay, why wouldn't you? Somebody says, hey, I've got a Ouija board here, and it'll tell you, you know, the future. It'll tell you something about yourself or whatever. And what would keep you from that? Well, you know, I believe the Word of God. I'm not going to get near that thing. Well, I have somebody that can read your palm, and they can tell you this and that about yourself. And you know, what's going to keep you from going along with that? Well, you say, I believe the Bible. There's no way. So again, you know, we look at it and we say, why would anybody do this? Why would they go along with this? And again, that ignorance of God's word, that's why I listed it first. And then the satanic and demonic activity. It is a supernatural activity that goes on. And it is going on certainly today. Then the third thing, as far as deception, is the many empty souls. You know, people who are lost, and they are just, they're empty. Look at Luke 11, verse 24. Luke 11, 24. So many people are searching. So many people, you know, they'll try this, they'll try that, and many things, many programs, many sinful things will give you a temporary fix. You know, an alcoholic has his problems and depression and everything else, and so the solution, well, I'll get drunk. So he gets drunk, and for that moment, his problems are gone. He's just, they do go ahead and make more problems for themselves often in that drunken state. But the point is, you know, they're looking, okay, well, I'll pop some pills. That'll, yeah, and maybe for a moment. Well, I'll smoke some marijuana. That'll, and maybe for a moment, it may take care of whatever the problem is. But, you know, ultimately, people need Jesus. Ultimately, everybody needs the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't care what the problem, don't care what the issue, don't care if it's loneliness, I feel unloved, nobody cares. You can name any number of things, but ultimately, people need the Lord, and nothing else will do. Nothing else will fill that void, that vacuum that man has. And so Luke 11, verse 24, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest, and finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. And again, the whole point is you can sweep everything out and make it squeaky clean by good works or by a religious system or by doing this or doing that or by you know, some other kind of artificial means, but anything that is not Jesus Christ, it just makes things worse for you. Anything that is not trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's just going to, well, I made some resolutions at New Year's, and I'm going to be a new person. I'm going to be a different person. And that may be well and good, and that's a great intention, and people do it. And literally in my mind, I see them with a broom sweeping that thing out and cleaning their life up. And okay, I'm not going to smoke anymore. I'm not going to take drugs anymore. I'm not going to do this and do that. And they get everything all swept out, but they came short because they need Jesus in. And we need Jesus Christ in our lives and in our world. Again, if we are not giving the gospel out, and you have to understand that not every church gives out the gospel. Not every religious system gives out the gospel. And I think this group, we understand that. Not every organization, even those that have been saved, not every one of them give out the gospel. And so if we offer anything short, if Brother Bowman, who's the head of our Reformers Unanimous, if he decides, you know what, I think what I need to do is I need to come up with some kind of program that will get everybody cleaned up and everything, and I'm running them off because I'm telling them how to be saved, I'm going to quit doing it, then we can't do it. Because all we're doing is we're getting it empty so that, okay, the one that we've swept that one out, but now it's going to be even worse than it was before. They need Jesus, and he wouldn't do that, I know that. But that's why everything we do, we must give out the gospel. Everything we do, we must point people to Jesus Christ. In everything, every aspect of our ministry, it has to point people to Christ. Again, one of the reasons that Antichrist will be so received and people will be so deceived is they're looking for something, and he will be the temporary fix for a lot of people. But we know he's not the fix. And so, you know, people try this and that and all kinds of things, but they're empty because they do not have Jesus Christ. So too many empty souls. And then, of course, the love of sin. The love of sin. What is our downfall? I still can remember years ago when we were in Shreveport, Louisiana. I'm going to say that would have been in 93-ish, 93, 94, 95, somewhere in there. That all sounds so far away, doesn't it, now? But that was when they were starting to do the gambling, and they had the riverboat gambling was going on. I assume there was a battle in Michigan, Detroit. Don't they have riverboat gambling and stuff like that? I'm not real familiar with all that. But down there was a huge battle, and of course Shreveport, Louisiana, Bible Belt, and you know all these people are, well, you know, this is going to ruin everything. And but it just came down to, hey, you know, we want to do this. We want to gamble our money. We want to, if we want to go broke at the riverboat, at the casinos, let us. And people just liked their partying, their sin. It became, I mean, those riverboats, I remember driving by one of those areas once, and it was a hub of prostitution. I'm sure there were drugs, you know, there was alcohol. Gambling, all kinds of sin, and I mean that became such a popular thing, the love of sin. You would never think, it's like the lottery, you would never think that those kinds of things would try to take away the lottery. Oh my, and you know that had its battle as well, but people, they just like all that stuff. Matthew 24 verse 12. Matthew 24, 12. Several verses in reference to this, could be many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Iniquity abounding. Just so much sin. The love of sin. And again, you know, the abortion issue, if there was no love of sin, there wouldn't be an abortion issue. It wouldn't be an issue, but the love of sin. You know, most abortions are—they're not because of rape. Most abortions are because of inconvenience. Somebody wants to do their own thing without the responsibility, and they want to commit their sin without the responsibility. And so, hey, we can get an abortion; that'll take care of our responsibility. We don't have to worry about it. And so, iniquity. You know, drugs, stealing, people breaking in, people, you know, all these kind of things. Sin is going to cause a very, very easy kind of a deception in people's lives. Romans 7 and verse 11, for sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me, and by it slew me. Anytime we sin, and everybody here does, we do. We have to understand we have been deceived. Every time I sin, and I have to grasp the fact that I was just deceived. Why? Because Satan is going to provide whatever temptation there is and you know, try to get me to sin, and then when I do sin, he accuses me. I've been deceived. You know, whatever lie, oh, this is going to really be great. This is going to feel good. You're going to like this. You know, boy, you talk about a deception. Adam and Eve, so clear in the scripture. And wow, I mean, you talk about getting burnt, but we get burnt too. And every time, you know, every time I think of Adam and Eve, I think, yes, and it would be so easy to sit up high and mighty and, oh, boy, if I were there. And then I recognize if I were there, I'd have done the same thing they did. We're just so easily deceived. And so, again, you say, I just can't imagine an Antichrist being on the throne, being on the news, being on, you know, and being so strong as he, how in the, well, because people love sin. And, you know, so many of the policies that we see in our nation are people just, they love sin. And, you know, the idea of the government paying for everything for everybody. You know, what is that? That's a love of sin. You know, Bible's very clear. If a man doesn't work, neither should he eat. It's clear. Again, I understand there are folks that we need to help out and all of that, but a mentality comes on that and I hear people talk about it. Well, I'm better off not working. It's better for me not to work. I can make more not working than I can going out here and getting a job. And you know, again, it's just a love of sin, and it affects all of us. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead... That is not the verse I'm looking for. Well, oh, yeah, it isn't. Be not deceived, verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners, evil communications. Again, the love of sin. We have become, our nation has become the gossip center of the world, it seems, with the media. Well, I say our nation, the media, the Facebook and, you know, the internet and all that, it's worldwide. And people, I mean, they will sit for hours and hours and hours, you know, just, again, I'm not, there are some of you that use it very, very well and use it right and you do right by it. I know people do, and I understand that. But there are so many that get on and it is just gossip, gossip, gossip. Amen. And what does the Bible say? Evil communications corrupt good manners. Be not deceived. And so in our world, we you know, I don't know how many times in talking to people I've heard someone say, well, I know this is true because I saw it on the internet. It's unbelievable. That is accepting things we used to would never have accepted. We wouldn't even have paid attention to some of that stuff. But I saw it on the internet. You need to be careful with anything you get off the internet. You need to be careful with... It's just like, you know, you're sick and you have some symptoms and you type them in. Be careful. You know, it's no different than when we first got our medical dictionary. How many of you have a medical dictionary? All right, yes, bless God. I remember we got that. I started looking at it and I had 20 of the diseases. And honestly, you know, you start looking at some of that and you think you do and you start believing. But I mean, you know, again, you have to take that. And understand that it's not necessarily true. Evil communication is one of the most dangerous things that we have in our nation, and it's not just the world and a problem there. It's a problem in the church as well. And people just, well, so and so said it, and it's got to be true. No, hey, if the pastor says it behind the pulpit, it doesn't necessarily mean it's true. You need to search the scriptures and find out. You know, if I'm preaching something and something, it's like, well, that's a little strange. Then you come and you say, Pastor, do you? This happens all the time. Not necessarily that I'm trying to get some heresy over or something like that. It's just maybe I worded something wrong, and maybe I didn't convey it very well to the congregation. And I have people that come and they say, "Pastor, okay, here's, you know, you said this, and now is that really?" And I say, "No, that's not what I meant. And did I really say that?" And again, that is, it's okay. You know why? Because we really want people to get the truth. We really want the word. I mean, we don't want it to be corrupted. And so, again, you know, this idea of accusing people, and be careful with some of this government stuff. Be careful, you know, that you don't start saying something that you heard and you don't know that it's true. We all need to be very careful about all of that. And so, again, we you know, the itching ears and, "Well, I know something nobody..." Well, do you really know? Or are you just repeating what somebody told you? And they repeated what somebody told them. And they repeated what somebody told them. And they repeated what somebody... Is that necessarily true? Maybe not. And we need to be very, very careful of that. Titus 3:3. Got a couple more verses here. Titus chapter 3 and verse 3. "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish." That sounds good, doesn't it? That is us. "Disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." If that becomes the characterization of America and even Christians, then it would be very simple to see how man would be deceived. It just seems, you know, that makes it very obvious. And what is that? Well, it's simply a love of sin. Of course, Galatians 6 and verse 7. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." We always somehow think we're going to beat that. We somehow get the idea, no, that doesn't apply to me. If I sow corn, I'm going to get beans. We somehow that gets in our minds, you know. A child will get that in their mind. They'll think somehow I'm going to beat this system. And I can sin and I can get away with it. And it may look like you did. But somehow, some way, the crops come up. And when the crops come up, you can't change it. And so we really, but again, "Be not deceived," the Bible says. I like my sin. I just like it. And boy, you know, it's just fun. And be not deceived. Be not deceived. And so clear in Scripture, the love of sin, it will get us in trouble every time. Let's have our ushers come, if they would. Look at Revelation 13, verses 5 and 6. Ushers, if you'll go ahead and just receive an offering. His proclamation is Roman numeral 3. His proclamation. And verses 5 and 6, we're not going to spend a lot of time on this. I'll probably be able to cover it next week. But I do want to remind you that initially, in the beginning, we have an understanding that in the beginning of the tribulation, those days, the Antichrist will be speaking peace. He will very, very clearly be drawing people to himself. Again, we just spent several weeks talking about his promotion. He will be talking peace. He will be drawing people to himself with deception. But then eventually his agenda will become clear. And verse 5 says this, "And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies." Now, again, I don't believe that's in the first part of the tribulation. I think that is going to be later on. Now, maybe secretly there will be that going on. I assume there would be with some of his organization and those that are helping to promote him. But again, to the public, I don't think it's going to be like that initially. He's going to be drawing the people to himself. He's going to be deceiving. And so, but there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And again, I believe that is talking about the second half of the tribulation, and we'll dig into that a little further next week. But then, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And so we see this proclamation that will take place, I believe, in the middle of the tribulation, and it will be a very bold proclamation. It will be very obvious, his agenda and his anti-God, anti-Christ position. I don't think there will be any question at that point as to what's going on. Of course, that is where the major persecution that we will get into that'll be starting as far as the Jews and anyone who has gotten saved in that. So we'll talk about next week. We'll talk about his mouth, the months, and the message, and I think it'll be very, very interesting.